The following is a Darshan arrival address given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on July 6, 1994 in Brisbane, Australia.
Started to cry. He felt very upset that the Lord wasn't accepting the offering. And the Lord said, "Why you're crying?" He says, "My father told me to offer you the laddu and you'll accept the offering, but you're not eating the laddu." So then the Lord said, "If I eat the laddu, then you'll stop crying." He said, "Yes." So then he ate half of the laddu. The bili picked up the laddu and started eating. And the boy came back with a plate half eaten. The mother said, "What happened to the laddu prasad?" "It's all there." "Well, but half is missing." "Yeah, the Lord ate the other half." Mm-hmm. "Normally what happens, the Lord eats everything and then he puts it back right away at the same time. So we see, it's the same, but it's actually already eaten by the Lord and replaced." Here, because the Lord was actually physically eating that to satisfy the desire of his small child devotee, so he was only leaving half. When the father came back, he heard the story and he didn't really know what happened, so he hid and was watching, and he found that the deity was eating. And when the deity understood that he was watching, he stopped eating, but he could still caught him red-handed because he had a half-eaten laddu in his hand. So since that time, they offer, they keep a half a laddu in the hand of the deity, remembering that past time. Well, the fame of Raghunandan Thakur spread around that he was such a great devotee that the Lord was taking right from his hand and eating. So Abhirab Thakur, one of Lord Nityananda's very dear associates, he wanted to meet Raghunandan Thakur. So Abhirab Thakur was such a powerful devotee that when Lord Nityananda had his first children, every time he would offer his obeisances to the children, after the birth of a new baby to Nityananda and Vasudha, the baby would die. So the baby couldn't tolerate the obeisance offered by Abhiram Thakur. He said it wasn't worthy of being a child of Lord Nityananda. Like this, about six children died. Six or seven, I forget what I said. Until finally, Virchandra Prabhu and Ganga Goswamini were born as Nityananda children, and they could take the obeisances offered by Abhiram Thakur. It says that some people, if they put just a black stone on the altar that wasn't a real shaligram, if you offered obeisances, it would just crumble, explode. So he wanted to see Raghunandan. But when the parents, they were just frightened, you know. Even though Raghunandan was a bona fide devotee, they were frightened just because of, you know, parental affection. Who knows what will happen? Abhiram offers him obeisance. So when Abhiram came, they hid the child and wouldn't let him come out. By that time, maybe he was already 12 years old or something. I don't know exactly. But he was little grown. But somehow Raghunandan, so Abhiram was very upset. He went off about a kilometer away in one forest. He was chanting his japa there. The Raghunandan heard that Abhiram had come, like somehow he got the news. So he snuck away from his parents. He went out. And then immediately offered his obeisances to Abhiram Thakur. And Abhiram, he was so happy to see Raghunandan. So the two of them, they started to dance. So they were dancing for hours and hours and hours in ecstasy, chanting Hare Krishna. They were so excited. Raghunandan Thakur, he kicked so hard that he had silver ankle bells on. And the silver ankle bells flew 12 kilometers and landed in one devotee's palm. They still kept those ankle bells. So you can imagine. And that would, I think, be any Olympic record. So that place where they met is a commemorated land. They built a temple there, and every year there's a big gathering, maybe 200,000 people gather, festival. It's a kirtan just went on for day and night, so they commemorate the kirtan of this festival. And the deity comes out. Gauranga Mahaprabhu stays in that orchard for the 3-4 days. Behind the house of Raghunandan Thakur, one time Nityananda came there, and he was in the mood of Balaram, and he was saying, "Give me madhu! Give me honey! I want honey!" And so me, the devotee, went to the pond and took out a pot of water to bring to Lord Nityananda. But when he did that, then the whole pond and the water that he took out turned into honey. And he went and brought to Nityananda and he drank the honey, just like Balaram was taking honey. So the whole pukur, that time, honey, he said, "Give me more honey!" So in the mood of Balaram, Nityananda was accepting so much honey. So that pukur became known as Madhu Pukur. Madhu means honey. Honey pukur. Pukur means a little man-made lake. You dig a pond, then they call that a pukur, like a tank. I guess here they dig swimming pools. They don't dig pukurs. Then another interesting pastime. Abhiram Thakur was very amazing personality. Sridham of Krishna Lila. He came with Lord Nityananda and joined Chaitanya Lila. So he had outside his temple at Kanako Krishnanagar one bokul tree. Do they have bokul trees in Australia? Small flowers like a jasmine, but more, and when they dry, they keep the fragrance for years together. So they have a little fruit that's kind of like a small crab apple. Kind of sour. Kids like to eat them. So. A little bit. They're not a commercial fruit. But they get very nice small flowers. This is a very big tree. They take a long time to grow. A big tree means it may be 100 years old. It's a very big tree. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu used to go and sit underneath that tree. And he would go there with the Sankirtan party. So it was a favorite, very cool shade. So one yogi heard about Abhiram Thakur being a great Vaishnava. But, you know, what is the use of these Vaishnavas? They don't have any, you know, they don't have any potency. So he went and showing off his mystic power, he zapped that tree and burnt it to a crisp. Abhiram Thakur came out and said, "My tree, Nityananda Prabhu's tree," and he was very angry. So then using his potency, he recreated the tree. And he gave the tree a blessing that 12 months a year you'll give flowers for the deity, but no fruits. So it's a resurrected tree. Sometime in the history of humankind, heard about people have died and come back from the dead. But this is the first, you know, one of the few, if any, history of a resurrected tree. It was killed and came back from the dead. It's called Siddha Bokul also. It's a resurrected tree. And it's still living, even today, after 500 years. Now it's massive. In 12 months a year, it gives flowers. Normally, they only give flowers for 1 month a year. But this tree gives 12 months a year, but never any fruits. And it's used for the deities. So Abhiram Thakur, after that, the yogi was so, that he surrendered to Abhiram Thakur and said, became a Vaishnava, giving up his pride over mystic powers and things. That Abhiram Thakur, he was just always considering how to deliver the local villagers, how to, he'd see a pocket of people in Maya and he would try and make plans, let's have a festival there, let's distribute prasad. It's like, just actively always meditating on the preaching. He's one of the eternal associates of the Lord and the 12 cowherd boys of Krishna. And he's totally absorbed in how to bring people to lotus feet before any time. Showing how preaching Krishna consciousness is a transcendental activity, which even the liberated souls who come down from the spiritual world, they relish performing that activity. How many of you went on the Navadip Mandal Parikrama this year?
Yes.
How did you like it?
Very good. When you last 3 years?
Last 3 years. Good customer.
This year
was a bit hard. So the Gaur Mandal is around Navadip Mandal. It's all around. It spreads out for about 168 miles. It's a very big area. We're trying to get, this year, when Sadhu, he came to Mayapur and he was sitting outside my office and this very old man, must have been 80s. Tilak sitting in the hallway. I came out and I asked him, if he got any prasad. I said, here's like a Vaishnava, we feed poor, so many poor people, but here's a, just some kind of a devotee, so I asked him, more prasad. He said, no, I just eat fruit, I had some fruit. Some way I can help you, so I wanted to see the general manager. So I brought him in the office, set him down, wait for the general manager, and I left. It turns out he's the Saivite. He's like head priest of a temple at Kanai Nachala. You ever heard the name Kanai Nachala? It mentions when Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan and Narasimha Brahmachari was meditating. And he was creating like a jeweled pathway for Lord Chaitanya, and he got up to Kanai Nachala, and that's as far as he went. He said, Lord Chaitanya, I'm just going to go there. Lord Chaitanya went there on three different occasions. At the feet of Lord Krishna there, the self-manifested deity. It's a very beautiful place right on the Ganges. Just opposite from Bengal, it's the only place of Gaur Mandal Bhumi that's in the state of Bihar. He said that he wanted to give that to ISKCON, to take his very old, he's not capable of running anymore. About 45 acres of land. Beautiful temple right on the bank of the Ganges. There's many obstacles between someone offering land and it actually being registered. Maybe with the prayers of all the devotees we can get. It's a very nice place. One of the places of Gaur Mandal Bhumi. Like that, we're trying to find places. Someone offers, we take them over. So. Otherwise, we just offer or we repair the place. So it's nectarian because there's so many pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. Any questions? Yes? His whip. Yeah, the whip. If he whipped someone, then they would get love of Godhead. So that would happen. He whipped Raghunandan, I think, 3 times. Gave him so much love for Godhead. Someone stopped and take it easy, poor kid. In the temple, one day Abhiram Thakur told his associate he had to make a deity of himself. And he told the associates that today I'm going to leave the world. I'm going to enter into this deity and you can worship the deity. And he turned around and walked and entered into the deity. So that no one saw him anymore. Deity's there, sitting in the temple, next to the Krishna deity, Balaram. Beautiful deity. They do all the worship for the deities with the door open, the bathing, ornaments, everything, putting the deity to sleep. After the deity takes rest, and it comes to them. All the worship is done with the door open. The only temple like that. There's a few, I think it's a Gopinath deity. Beautiful. One time Prabhupada was walking on the roof of the lotus building in Mayapur. And on the roof, there's a roof garden, so there were some ants moving. And then, that time, Prabhupada looked up and said that in the higher planetary systems are living entities, but looking down on the human beings, the way we look down at ants, we think ants are so insignificant, and look down at human beings are so insignificant. Civilizations coming up. For them, 200 years is only less than one of their years. 365 of our years is one of their years. We live 100 years, it's like a few months. Like some animal going this, there's an animal that lived a few months, you know, like some kind of rabbit or something. I don't even know how long a rabbit lives. A rat? I don't know if a rat lives. A mouse. Human beings are so insignificant for them. Of course, a human being has advantage if, although we have such a short lifespan, if we are Krishna conscious, we can go back to Krishna. For ants, they don't have that consciousness. But in the whole universal affair, we're actually very infinitesimal. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada arrived in Mayapur, and then he went up to the reception, everything went upstairs, and he sat in his room, leaned back on his cushion, and then he asked for a glass of Mayapur water. He put in his golden goblet. He drank high without touching. And he said, Mayapur. Living or dying in Mayapur, it's all the same. If you're living in Mayapur, you're in the spiritual world. And if you leave your body here, you go back to Garden. So living or dying, it's the same. I remember one day, I think it was Brahmananda and a couple other devotees, they were sitting in the room with Prabhupada. He was teaching. He said how to eat without touching. He said if you, he gave them all maybe a coconut ball. Said, they eat, and then they'd eat like this. So then he'd say, now your hand is contaminated, go wash it, come back. So you had to learn to eat without touching, so your hand will stay clean. You take, throw it. Then he'd give them, your hand, go wash. This is going on, they're trying to throw it. Prabhupada's getting impatient, hopeless, can't even eat without touching. I remember one devotee kept sending out, four or five times he touched! So he wanted to teach how to eat without touching sometimes. How to drink without touching. I remember one time somebody came knocking at my door. It was 1:30 in the morning. What's going on? Opened the door. I said, anything wrong? What's happening? I thought maybe we were being attacked or something. So Srila Prabhupada wants to see you. 1:30. Went through some water on my face, put on some tilak, ran downstairs. The Prabhupada was translating in his room. He had, the room was filled with frankincense smoke, took away the mosquito. And they had a special mosquito net over his desk. And he was inside with a dictaphone, translating Srimad Bhagavatam. I came in, offered my obeisances, and then he looked at me and said, I was thinking about deconstruction. I forget exactly what he was talking. He wanted to know about construction. What are you going to do tomorrow? So we were on call 24 hours a day, anything problem one. And he was concerned about something, so I had to do my homework, come back in the morning and give him a report. I was visiting Srila Prabhupada in Bombay in 1977, I think it was in the month of April. The time of sun, he was physically manifesting some kind of health problems. So I was asked to stay up with him on the night. He was in the fifth floor of the Bombay Prabhupada Tower. He was quietly, he was silently chanting japa. Prabhupada was resting. Then he woke up and he sat up and says, my back is itching. Please scratch my back. I started scratching it. I said, no, use your fingernails. Scratch it hard. And it was like some kind of something residue or something was going on, with, you know, scaling or something, was itching. He wanted, you know, I didn't have much fingernails. So. So whatever I had, he wanted me to like scratch it. I know that I was scratching. It's about 15 minutes and it showed up, so I laid back down. But it was mercy. I was able to scratch it while I was back. Any other questions? Yeah, scratch.
No, is it?
Oh, no, I think I can do it without touching. At the time? Oh, no, I saw you. At the time, he was mainly trying to teach someone else. And I was kind of observing the whole thing. So from that, I don't think he put me too much on the spot. The other one was not learning at all. And after that, I went and did practice for a while. I was ready. I can't remember at that time, failed or not. I think I must have done it right, because otherwise I would have been. I don't remember being sent out to wash my hands, but the other one was about four times. So probably that was frustrating. But Srila Prabhupada would tend to like focus on. I mean, I got my chastisement off of him, but he would tend to focus on a particular person. One time Srila Prabhupada, he said he wanted us to be very expert in serving guests. He says it was very important. He said in some of the other temples they knew really how to serve guests very nice to make them feel very welcome. He gave an example. One of his godbrothers would personally bring some big minister or VIP, and when they came to the temple, then he would sit there and he would like direct the servants or the person with the great flighter, that's a Maharaj, a chariot, personally taking interest. And then, even though everything would be going nice, they make kind of person, bring more water, what's this, bring salt, bring. So the person would be like, he's taking so much care, so they'd feel very indebted. And so then after, the person would be like totally stuffed with prasadam. So then they would approach him for some help, you know, some permit or some grant or some whatever it might be they're trying to get, or just some help in some way. While eating, then the Srila says should be only light talk, not anything heavy. After eating, hit him up. So then, like, just happened that day, one very big member of the government came. So then Prabhupada was like, okay, I'm going to show you guys. I'll show you the children. So he went in the van, we had it right behind his room, he had the Usbring Prashad and the serve. And then Prabhupada put his chair out there and he was sitting and he was telling him, teaching us how to serve the guests, the VIP guests. And then Prabhupada would be telling jokes, laughing, you know, telling some little spiritual jokes with them, very light talk. So this day he was personally training us how to serve guests. Then afterwards, when we talked to the person, they wanted to develop in my upper city, needed some help to get the land, more land from the government or something. So he wanted us to be expert how to serve guests, how to take care of people. Now in the 1990s, service-oriented groups is the most important. That's like really considered an important factor. You're very expert in serving people. Someone, one famous lecturer was saying how he didn't, his vision is that ISKCON should be known as the best service organization in the world. So people should get the best standard of service when they come to ISKCON. You know, instead of, you know, Singapore Airlines or this thing or that thing doing great service, ISKCON, best service. Because we're all servants, we're all devotees of Krishna, we're all servants. So, if somebody comes to Krishna's house, And shouldn't we manifest the best standard of service for them? Make them really feel welcome, make them feel, wow, these people are taking such nice care of me, I'd like to be a devotee too. Anyway.
Hare Krishna. Jai Bhai.
Jai.